Welcome to the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com and a bunch of other places. It's just me. It's me by myself here all alone. Nobody wanted to come in today. Warren's off traveling for his real job. Ken's off traveling for his real job. So I am stuck doing this or doing this at a bizarre time, which I've been traveling so much, I haven't been able to get in here on make arrangements to get in here with the other guys. Plus, they're all traveling like all week. So you got me. That's it. Doesn't get any better than this. At least there'll be nobody being wrong this week. It's only right opinions. Only everything you need to know will be correct. We had a lot of racing this week. Not a crazy amount, but enough to keep us entertained over the holiday weekend. We had flat track at the Meadowlands Mile, first AFT event, sanctioned event in New Jersey. That turned out to be quite the race. It was on the old horse track. Well, it's not the old horse track, the current horse track there at the Meadowlands. Looked like a lot of fun. I was in New York. I should have rode over and went to that. I wasn't thinking. I screwed the pooch on that one. I just don't know what I was thinking, why I didn't go, but turned out to be quite a good event. I watched on Fans Choice, which is where you can watch all the races on AFT, on American Flat Track. They have it on Fans Choice live all the time. I don't know why I'm umming and ahhing a lot. I got to stop that. The rebroadcasts, of course, are on that NBC, SN, or however you say that. I don't know what all that stuff is. That don't make no sense to me. But Flat Track, the singles, which... there was still some stuff on the line there. It was their season finale. It was the season finale of AFT. Texter got a win on a mile track, which is her first win on a mile this year. Every time you turn around, man, there's other people, all kinds of people. Wall Street Journal, Forbes, all kinds of people doing press on her. We also got to see something that we don't see a lot of, and that was actually two women make the finals. There was another... female competitor that made the finals this past race. Now her name is completely escaping me. So I'm going to struggle for that. I remember her first name was like Sandria or I don't know. It was Sandrina Shipman. Sandrina. I'm going to assume I said that right. I'm not too good at names, as we all know. So that was kind of cool, but Shayna pulled the win out. Ended up being a good win. It was a tough battle back and forth. Kobe Carlisle was up there in the beginning. There was just a lot of good racing, and even through the field, you ended up with some good racing. I mean, she only beat Kobe Carlisle by, God, I don't even know if it was half a tire width. It might have been not like the whole round part of the tire, but like the meat and rubber side. It might have been half of one of those. It was just a tight race. They pulled away from Bromley and Wells and Tanner Dean, who were all mixed up in their own little battle back for third, fourth, fifth. Texter and Carlisle were definitely the class of the field. I'd say over the last 2 years on the mile track, it seems like every time there's a podium, those two are on it or right there, like fourth person, first one out. Carlisle, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him moving up to a bigger bike soon. I mean, he's a pretty big guy in the world of motorcycle racing and stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if we get to see him move up eventually. Shayna, she spoke about coming back next year and trying to win a championship. I just hope she's serious about that. You know, I enjoy watching her race. I think it's a great story. But at times she really pisses me off. Her and her team piss me off. You know, they go and they try to run other races instead of concentrating on their schedule. And she still hasn't gotten the whole TT down. I'd like to see her spend this winter. Look, we know you can win a half mile. We know you can win a mile. We know the bike is fast. We know you're fast. put the training in. You should be living at a track this winter that has a TT with the right and left and the jumps. Even if you scored any points on them, you don't even have to win. Just score points on them, and you're golden. You know, all the time we talk about, oh, the champion that could be. You know, we just had a big story in World Superbike about a girl winning the championship in the Super Sport 300. Here we got Shayna Texter who has, let's see, Daytona. She missed out there. She missed out the Buffalo Chip, Illinois, where's Peoria, right? There's four races she scored 0 points in. Four races, four TTs that she scored. Well, I guess Illinois isn't a TT, is it? But the bottom line is that she... No, the first Illinois was, wasn't it? She gave up between 75 and 100 points there. And not so much that it's like, oh my God, she was going to win there. I mean, the guy who won the championship, he has two wins, a sixth, and three wins and a sixth in the races she missed. But you got to score points there, right? That was 100 points just sitting there. You know, even if you get 60 of them, it brings it in tighter. It puts more pressure on Bromley, who ended up winning this year, would have put her in second over Wells. It just sucks. It sucks that she doesn't get out there and work on those. And I'm not saying she... Look, I don't know her training regimen. She might be out there training and busting her butt on them, and they're just not... You know, some people don't get the knack of certain things, and I'm not picking on her or anything like that. Maybe it's just something that she hasn't got the hang of it. I hope over the wintertime it, like, clicks and she turns into a TT machine, because if she can score some points in those... Man, hello world. We're going to be looking at a female flat track champ in the singles, because she's got the goods. She's got the bike. It's a good team. It seems to be a good fit. She started out a little weak, you know, with missing Daytona and then seventh at Dixie. Then she had a pair of seconds. Then, you know, she was like hot or cold. Then she had an eighth, a seventh, and then down a miss on the Illinois State Fairgrounds. Then a third, a win, then a 14th. You know, she doesn't – winning a championship's all about consistency. It doesn't matter what form of racing you're in, man. It's about getting out there and banging out when your bad race – we talk about this in Supercross. Ryan Dungey, his bad race was a fourth. Right, Tomac, that's why he beat Tomac those couple years, because Tomac's bad race would be an 18th. Ryan Dungey's bad race is a fourth or third. Sometimes his bad race is a second, right? That's how you get stuff done. Then in the twins, the title's been settled for a while, but Brian Smith got the win at Meadowlands, first ever twins winner there at Meadowlands in a sanctioned race. Congrats to him. The point standings in there, you know, because they're wrapping everything up. You got Mies with the champ, who won by like 600, 700 million points. About 90, I think he won, 93. Then Hammer and Hank Wiles and Briar Bauman were second and third. You had the injuries to Brian Smith and the injury that Brad Baker is still suffering from. Hopefully we'll hear some more. You know, he puts up a lot of videos, which I'm glad about. But I think at the end of the day, Factory Indian was thinking they'd have 1, 2, 3 at the championships, just like they had most of the podiums. And that didn't exactly work out for them with the injuries and stuff like that. I'd love to see all three guys come back next year healthy. Brian Smith, you know, he looked pretty good, and he's got the win. He's got two wins in a row, three of the last four races he's got a win in, you know, so I think that's a good fit. I think he came on hot. You know, Jared Mies just had such a big early part of the season and mid part of the season that it didn't matter to him where he finished after that. He was too far ahead. And I hope we see Jake. I hope we see Brad Baker, Brad the Bullet, back out on a bike, but I don't want him to rush it back. I want him to heal. I want him to go through things. He's going to be a while. I would be shocked as anything to see him out on a bike next year. I don't know what Indians going to do. There hasn't been any talk on whether they're going to hold this bike for him, whether they're going to put somebody on him, whether they're going to say, hey, we're going to sign a rider for a year. I think if they sign somebody for 1 year, why not give it to Kobe Carlisle? Move him up, have a little bit of fun. I don't know if, you know, there's still a lot of good riders. There's going to be a lot of people if they decide that they want to put somebody on the third bike and run three bikes. I can't see why they wouldn't. Doesn't make sense. The right guy there can definitely get them third in the overall points behind their other two riders and continue their domination, which Harley's still struggling to keep up. And with the talks of all these other people and Ducati and some of these other people, you know, all the rumors you're starting to hear float around, man, it'd be foolish for them not to put somebody on the factory ride. Maybe they'll take somebody out of their pen, but I don't know, because you got some guys already starting to sign contracts and stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. J.D. Beach did run this one. He did end up sixth overall, which, you know, anytime the Jiggy Dog's out there, he's a threat to win. He just didn't have it this week. Just, you know, sometimes things are not in the cards for you. With that, also, Indian announced that they're going to have a Indian FTR 1200 inspired by the championship winning FTR 750 race bike. The flat tracker for the street is here. Definitely not what you're expecting out of Indian. If you go, you can just do a little Google, just do Indian FTR 1200 or just Indian 1200, comes right up. Kind of looks more like a sport bike, kind of, you know, I mean, definitely not the Indian baggers that you see riding around. The exhaust is kind of ugly, not a fan, but, you know, sometimes you end up with that. Looks like a cool bike. I'm sure it's peppy. I'm sure it's fun. I think if I was buying something to ride around, I'd probably go the 750, just a nice little pop-up bike, you know, something fun, something easy to whip around. But it looks like a pretty strong bike. You know, they've been doing it right. Polaris is no dummies when it comes to marketing their stuff. They've been around a long time and made a lot of money, so you can't cut them out. I guess. Warren, you got anything to say? No? How about you, Ken? No? Good. I'm tired of you guys being wrong all the time. MotoGP. What to say about MotoGP? MotoGP was in Thailand, the Chang International Circuit, which I believe is their first time there. If I was hearing that right, I'd have to look. I don't remember if that is or isn't, but I think so. They were talking the first GP winner and all that stuff. I'm not gonna argue with the guys who are calling the race on the old TV or computer, however you watch it. But we had a weird race, weird qualifying. You knew things were really weird when Bagnaia qualifies sixth and Rossi qualifies second, right? That should just tell you that something there is really weird, because that's just, you know, especially with Rossi, all the complaining he's been doing about the Yamaha, and now he's up there qualifying second. So we'll get into Moto 2 a little bit. They got four more races in Moto 2. Four more races in Moto GP total. Bagnaia, he ended up battling back, and there was a lot of good racing in the Moto 2 race this week, which sometimes they get out of front and they kind of take off. It wasn't till towards the end of the race where Bagnaia kind of walked away. And then he had to be really happy with his Sky Racing Team VR46 partner, Luca Marini, because, you know, Bagnaia's trying to win that championship, and he's like, yeah, I got to get it done to win the championship. And he has a small lead over Oliveira, but it got stretched out to 28 points because out of nowhere, it's towards the end of the race, and Marini was hovering back. At some points, he was 7th. He was 10th. Then he started working his way up. Then he got to 5th, and he was there forever. And all of a sudden, he closed a lot of ground towards the end of the race to a point where, you know, and Bagnaia made a bunch of mistakes during the race. I mean, we've never seen Bagnaia make that many mistakes during a race. At least recently, we haven't. And towards the end of the race, all of a sudden, Marini threw himself in the battle with Binder and Oliveira. And for a while, you thought the two KTMs were going to put the pressure on Bagnaia with maybe 10, 12 laps to go. They were all kind of battling up there, and Bagnaia was the odd guy out, and they were kind of, you know, riding them tough and stuff. And you were like, "Woo, man, I don't know what's going to happen." And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, towards the end of the race, Marini comes in, smacks him around to take second, which costs Oliveira 4 crucial points, right? He was already losing 5. Now he ended up losing 9 on the day, which put it over to over a full race lead for Bagnaia. This might be the turning point. Well, not the turn. Well, they've been locked up pretty good battling. This is probably the turning point where Bagnaia gets to stretch his lead a little bit, because I don't know if Oliveira is going to be able to come back on that. 28 points with 4 races to go. It's going to be tough to come back on it. So Marini came in 2nd, Oliveira 3rd, and Binder, who's had a couple good races in a row now, came in 4th, and it was a competitive 4th. I mean, you know, 2nd to 4th was, what, 3/10 of a second? So it was a pretty good race there where Bagnaia kind of stretched it. About 5 laps to go, he started really stretching it on him. In your point standing, you got Bagnaia, Oliveira, and then Binder. It's still going to be close. You know, one Bagnaia goes down or blows up or something, and this is all back. This is all back to being a battle. It's close enough. Like I said, he's only got a 28 point lead. So be interesting. I don't see. Oliveira winning it, wrestling that away from him without some help. Although, at times, Oliveira flashes fastness. We go over to MotoGP, where Marquez pretty much has things wrapped up. He's got a almost 80-point lead with 4 races to go. To assume that he's not going to get 1 or 2 more wins is a little bit of a stretch. He got the win this week. He started from pole, kind of went out there and did what he did. He dropped behind Dovi for a little bit. Rossi went out and took the lead early in the race, and Marquez kind of like sat there and, like, you know, it was like he was kind of stalking his prey. He was seeing what was going on and stuff. But Rossi and Vinales ended up sneaking all the way up into 3rd spot. You know, they've been bitching about the Yamaha a lot, and it seems like they bitch about the Yamaha and they make some changes. I think the biggest thing right now is tires. They're not making the adjustment to keep the bike on tires. I don't want to sound like a dick, but I totally feel like that could be solved. That shouldn't be this hard of a problem. The fact that with 10 laps to go, Rossi, leading the race, comes out of the corner and he's like just spinning his tire. It's got like no grip. That says to me they're setting something up wrong, or they're missing something, or they're bad tire choices. I don't know what's going on, but I feel like that shouldn't be that hard to fix. I don't know. I'm not a race engineer or something. I do know that when you're racing and your tires are going, you kind of look, you change some air pressure, you do this, you do that, right? Yeah, go from a hard to a medium, something. Soft to a medium or something. There just seems to be something kind of wrong. Now, Yamaha is saying that they're hoping in Japan the bikes are competitive, and that means the changes they made are working. It was good to see a Yamaha up there leading the race, and it was good to see Vinales being able to put some pressure, you know, and get up into, I don't want to say put pressure like he was battling for the race win, but, you know, the pass, and he's not finishing 8th, right? I mean, it's kind of embarrassing when the Yamaha is finishing 8th and stuff. Dovi and Marquez, they had themselves a little bit of a battle there. I don't see the championship not being Marquez's. It's still four races to go, but unless he falls or something, I mean, what do they got? They got Japan, which Phillips Isle, Malaysia, Valencia. It would have to take like an act of Iannone, you know, just running into him and wrecking him every race or something for him not to win the championship. And for all their bitching, Rossi and Vinales are sitting there in third and fourth point in points. By far, they're not locked up. Crutchlow's back there and stuff, but they're not doing horrible. They just haven't been competitive, but they've been competitively consistent. You know, they're not blowing up motors. They're not really crashing out. I don't think the bikes are going fast enough for them to lose it. Oh, that's a dick thing to say. But Dovey's sitting there. I don't see Dovey being able to catch Marquez. Maybe Rossi can sneak out Dovey's 22 back for second place. But I wouldn't think that's possible either. I think Dovey's going to be pushing really hard to get a couple wins, try and tighten it up some, look forward for next year. You know, if you're Dovey, you got to be licking your chops because you're like, look, cancer's leaving my team and it's going straight over to Honda, where the current reigning champion is the guy who seems to outbattle me all the time. So he's got to be kind of happy about that. And if you're Rossi and Vinales, you're like, whoo! They're going to pretty much take the fastest bikes out of the race. So that'll be good. And like I said, I kind of predict Lorenzo will win the championship next year. Although Dovey's pretty strong, I think it's just going to be such a headache and such a pain for Marquez. He's had life so good with a good partner and stuff. I think when Lorenzo gets there, it's just going to be, look at this S show. It's going to be like a political thing here in the U.S. Just throw the mud at each other, throw duty at each other. It's going to be a duty throwing contest in the garage there. They come back in about 2 weeks for Japan, and then they, like I said earlier, they got Phillips Isle, Malaysia, Valencia after that. I don't see anything changing unless out of nowheres Yamaha finds a whole bunch of speed, or Lorenzo finds a whole bunch of speed on the Ducati, or Marquez goes down, right? One wreck and we're all talking something different. So, but I just don't see it. Marquez has been riding smart all year. He's fast, but he's been riding smart. This week coming up, we got World Superbike will be in Argentina for their penultimate round. I just brought that up because, you know me, I love saying penultimate. So they'll be in Argentina. You can't bet against Johnny Ray. He locked the championship up last week. I don't think he's not the competitive type who isn't going to want to try and go out there and win. I don't know. It's going to be kind of a snoozer to watch, I have a feeling. It's a jerk thing to say, but I don't see it being all that exciting. You know, the guy's been pretty much dominating, and what can you say? He's got the points lead already. You're looking at whether Davies or Vandermark are going to come in second. I mean, that's the only real race, and Davies pretty much got that locked up. Two races, he's got a 26-point lead. He's got a full race lead. He scores 10 points, and that's pretty much locked. It's not going to be anything great. We do have a 11-point lead for Cortese over Cluzel in World Supersport. You know, we haven't really been talking about that much because, you know, we've been kind of following American racers. Oh, you know what? While I'm thinking of it, Moto 2, at times Joey Roberts had worked himself up to 12th place in the Moto 2 race. I was glad to see an American just even get a mention. But let's go back to Super Sport. Looks like PJ Jacobson will not be returning next year on the 10K Honda. I don't think anybody's surprised by that. They've been kind of not happy with each other. All along. Or at least as of late, there's been some grumblings and stuff. I don't think either side's happy. I don't think PJ was happy. The bike was crappy. I don't think the team wasn't happy because they think PJ's crappy. It's one of those things when you're on a crappy bike and you're on a slow bike and a new team. you got to expect growing pains. And if you don't expect growing pains, then you're in the wrong business. You know what they say. How do you make $1 million racing? Start out with $1 billion. So that kind of sucks. I hope PJ finds a ride. I don't know. I don't know what he's planning on doing other than I'm sure he'll be looking for a ride. He would need to be probably a Moto 2, or I think he stays in Superbike if he tries to get a Superbike ride. I don't know if I see him jumping back down to a Super Sport ride, but maybe if a good Super Sport bike comes up, it might not be a bad idea. Get a winning thing that hopefully leads you to a better bike overall. It's been kind of sucky. He's fast. He was fast. When he moved, I thought moving to MV Agusta would end up being good for him. Ended up being bad. Ken was right. I'm glad he's not here. I don't want to say that to his face. He sucks. Ken's the worst. But he was right that ended up being a bad. That ended up being a bad fit for him. And then because of that, he ended up on this new Honda team, which is kind of like, okay, it's not horrible, but it's not great. So that's all ended. We don't know where he's going to end up, but they're not even finishing the last two rounds. So it gives us, if you're an American, it only gives us Jake Gagne to cheer on. And like I said, I don't know where Jake Gagne is going to end up at the end of this year either. It could be a rough year for America. Speaking of interesting silly season stuff, old Scott Redding, the MotoGP star, he's going to switch to BSB and ride the Budweiser V4 Ducati. I'm not familiar with all the teams over there in BSB, although I do watch some of it when I can. I don't know how great of a team that is, but Redding's quote is, "I'm coming to BSB to take the title." I always think of that movie with Undercover Brother where the guy, I don't even know his name, the actor goes, "You talk a lot of," and drops the S-bomb there. I hope he knows what he's talking about. That is some big huevos to go saying that to the people. Oh, that's the music. To go saying that and be like, "I'm coming there to win the championship." I saw a lot of like snide comments saying, "Well, if you just want to win a championship and it doesn't matter, you should go to Moto America and stuff." I guess the money's there. Maybe he thinks winning a British Superbike title will get a better ride in Moto 2, MotoGP, World Superbike, something. I don't know. I feel like at times Redding has a lot of talent, but it wasn't really transferring, but sometimes you can only ride what you're given to. I'm shocked. The time is up. I didn't even get to everything I wanted to talk about. So that's what next week's for, because I might be doing this solo next week. So if you got anything you want to hear me rant and rave about, I didn't really have any rants or raves this week. I thought we saw some good racing, and I think we're going to have some boring racing this week coming up. Maybe there'll be a lot of good silly season news that I can daydream about, or I can just cuss and complain about something, or maybe I'll talk about the Mayans. I don't know. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.